I'm Laura Vinroot-Poole. For over 20 years, I've owned Capital, an internationally recognized specialty store in Charlotte, North Carolina. On this podcast, we unlock the stories of people's lives through the stories of what they wore. These aren't conversations about fashion. These are conversations about people. Alejandra Rojas is an emerging designer from the current CFDA class. I knew I loved her collection the moment I saw it. Alejandra's from a long line of interesting and independent women in Spain. And as you will hear, these are the very women who now inspire her collection. Alejandra, welcome back to the store. We're so happy to have you back in Charlotte.
Thank you so much, Laura.
I want to also share with you, we had a fashion show a couple weeks ago, and your horse dress was the hit of the show. Everybody went crazy. And there was a frenzy after fighting over every piece of stock we had.
That's amazing. I saw it on Instagram, and it was so beautiful.
It was so beautiful. And with Irene Neuwirth's horse earrings with it.
I loved it because sometimes when you get to the store, like, things are hanging. And I just love the fact that you put together like a fashion show for like all your clients. And yeah, it was amazing.
We've never done it before. I was really...
I was going to ask you, was the first time?
First time. I was really afraid to do it just because I didn't want it to be less than. I mean, I was so used to just beautiful, perfect shows.
And I think it was amazing.
It was really beautiful.
It was like
beautiful.
One of those like old, like, how do you call them? Like salon.
Exactly.
Shows. It was really, really pretty.
And that's what I wanted. Everybody had the little cards where they could check off or circle the things they loved.
That's amazing.
Like the old couture. Yeah. Tell the listeners where you're from.
So I'm from Spain, from Madrid.
I love Madrid.
Thank you.
What was your first fashion memory?
My first fashion memory was I was actually sort of like bothering my mom one day. She was making me like a little blouse or she
like
was
smocking?
Doing something. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, mom, like, I love the fabric. And I had like a Barbie girl with me. And she was like, what am I going to do with you? I was just like, teach me. And so she was like, she just cut a piece of the fabric. And like, we started actually draping on the girl, on the toy, just like a blouse. And we made her like a little like shirt with like Liberty flowers. And then I think it was like that same year that she actually got me, because I was always bothering her when she was knitting. And I was like, I want to learn. So she bought me this red box that was to actually make like a doll. Mm. Like with like big needles for like children. Mm-hmm. So I was like 4 and she taught me how to knit. And
wow. Yeah. And did you connect to it immediately?
Yeah, it was fun and it kept me like busy and entertained because I'm a very active person. So it was
your only
nice
daughter?
To start. No, I have a brother. But he was, at that time, I think he was 2 or 3 months old.
Okay.
He was a baby.
So you were driving her crazy.
Yes.
I think you come from a long line of very interesting and very powerful women. Will you tell me about?
I mean, the craftsmanship comes from them too. Like, there's a big tradition in Spain about like hand knitting and crochet and like doing, like making laces and all of that stuff. So my mom learned from her grandma and her grandma learned from her mom and, you know, like so on for like many generations. And we still have in the family like pieces from like a tablecloth to like runners and like sweaters. But then at the same time, even though Spain like was very conservative for like many years, my great grandpa really raised, like, he had 3 girls, my grandma and her 2 sisters, and he really raised them like, you know, like very modern. Like, they went to a French school, like they used to go to France, like they had a house in the south of France and they would go there like all the time. Then my grandma like later on would get arrested for like wearing one of those bikinis in Spain, like at the beach. But you know, they were like, my grandma went to college, like she spoke French, like she wrote, then she actually worked in the radio and advertising for like many years. And she had, you know, 3 kids. And so I feel like growing up, like, my other grandma like taught me also how to knit. So like, she was, you know, more like she was staying home and she loved cooking and she, you know, loved knitting. And then my grandma Carmen was just like, you know, a bomb. Like, she would just, you know, go out and take me to places and like, you know, like she was just like so elegant.
And tell
like,
me about Carmen. Where was she from? And what?
So she was from, all my family like has been from Madrid for like many generations. And she was from Madrid and she loved like fashion and and she loved writing, and she went to a very like special, like, you know, French school in Madrid. Then like later on, like her friends were like famous, like writers and like politicians, like, you know, painters. And
do you remember how she dressed?
Yeah, so she you know, she was a working mom, so like, you know, at the end of the day she would have to come home or like, you know, like do stuff with the kids and stuff. But like she, I remember her always like wearing like these amazing like suits and like pants and like leather, like she had like these like gorgeous like leather trench coat and like these
Loewe,
boots
probably.
Like lots of Loewe. Yeah. So she was very chic, but with a twist of like a little bit of like masculine. I have like gorgeous pictures of her even like dressed in Balenciaga, like he made her wedding dress.
What? I've been to Qataria.
It's
incredible.
Gorgeous.
Tell me about the dress. Do you still have it?
Yes, we have it. We have it in like a big box at her house. And I'm just waiting to like turn like my 10th anniversary because I want to throw a big party and just wear it because I couldn't wear it for my wedding. I didn't have time to like tailor it, but definitely going to wear it. It's like a 3/4 sleeve, all lace, with like a crew neck. So like, you know, very modern at, for the time. So like very clean at the top and like kind of like slim, but like not like contoured or anything. And then the lace like turns into these, you know, like when he used to like grab the fabric at the bottom so that it gets like
blouson, maybe?
Yeah, like a blouson. Yeah. And then there's like, then at the bottom is like a silk that makes like the blouson, and then it has like these like big bows like around it. And the
and
funny
what's the
thing,
fabric of that, it's taffeta,
it's like, or? Yeah, it's like a taffeta,
like a wool silk taffeta.
So like the lace goes into that, so it's like very minimal until you get to that. And then the bows are made also in the same silk, and it's shorter on the front because you really wanted to show her shoes.
And what were the shoes? Do you have the shoes?
I think she actually make them with the same lace.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was...
And did you grow up knowing about this dress? I mean, yeah. You have photos of it in your house. And
and then my mom actually wore it.
Oh, my God.
So every time I would go into my grandma's house, there was a picture of my mother, like, you know, with, like, the
bridal dress. And did she alter it at all, your mother? Or was
So my grandma was, like, 6 feet tall. Mm-hmm. She always says to me every time she sees me, like, you really get smaller every generation. I'm like, thank you, Grandma. So she was, like, very, like,
she's
Marilyn
still living,
Monroe.
Carmen?
Yeah. She's 83. She's very sick right now. I mean, she's had, like... a life.
Yes.
So sometimes I'm like, I, you know, I wish like she could just, you know, like just rest and like not be sick. And
yeah,
because sometimes she's like, take me to New York, and I want to, like, she actually lived in New York for like a couple of months because her sister was a surgeon.
Wow.
At the time, and she actually came, she was living in New York for like 8 or 10 years as a surgeon working in the city in like a hospital. And then apparently my mom always tells the story about like how my grandma got like appendicitis. And
when she
instead of
New
staying
York?
In Madrid, she was like, oh, my sister is there. So she's gonna get me the surgery. And my mom was like, you're really gonna go to like New York? So she like left and like left my grandpa and like the kids in Madrid and went there for the surgery. And apparently like, it wasn't appendicitis, it was like I think it was like stones on her butt or something that. And so she went there and then my mom like almost like a month later was like, mom, are you coming back?
No, I have surgery recovery.
And she always says like, you know, she loved it here. And so it was fun. So for me, New York has always been like, I feel like a home in a way, because like my great aunt lived there. And then I remember like she would come visit and like tell us stories about it. And then my mom's sister, who's a lawyer, actually lived in New York also for like several years working as a lawyer. So I just, for me, I always wanted to go there.
And when was the first time you visited?
So I visited when I was 14. I was in high school. And I was 15. And I had like I always, like, every time there was an exchange program, like, yeah, I was like raising my hand.
Okay.
So I went to Cerdeña, I went to Paris like to stay with like families, and then like the kids would come to the house. And so I stayed in New York with this family who I adore, and I'm really good friends still with Sarah. Aww. And so the mom knew that I loved fashion, and I, you know, I used to like make my t-shirts and like, you know, like drape a scarf.
And you knew you wanted to be a designer?
I knew I wanted to be like an artist. At some point I told my mom I wanted to be a teacher because I love teaching, and then like you get presents and like great holidays. And my mom was like, I don't think that's why. Well, and you get to boss around. She was like, maybe you have your own company.
I wanted to be a secretary because those were the women that I saw growing up that wore suits and they looked so
Oh, that's
chic.
Amazing.
My mom, and same thing, my mother was like, I'm not sure if that's a great goal. I don't
And so when I went to New York, and then Sarah's mom took me actually, I didn't know. And like, so she booked visits to FIT and Parsons. Mm. And I was just like, wow. And I came back and it was like, I'm moving next year. And my dad was like, okay, well, I think you potentially want to have your own business. So why don't you study business first and then go into fashion? And like, you know, like you can go anywhere later. So I did. And it was actually really helpful.
And so you went to Parsons?
Yeah. So what I did, it's kind of like a weird thing. So first I studied business in Madrid, between Madrid and Paris at the Sorbonne. Mm-hmm. Again, exchange program. I was like, I'm out.
And also after the family history.
Yes.
Going to Paris to study. I love.
So I went there. And then on my second year of business school, I actually started like taking night classes in fashion. Mm-hmm. For like an entire like year and a half. Uh-huh. And then I was done with my business degree in 4 years. And I started like fashion. So what I would do is like, I would take off, like my base was in Madrid, but then I would take off for like months to go to Dan Martin's or Parsons to like study, like, you know, do kind of like an exchange and like study there. So I would like spend like the entire summer and like a few more months. And I don't know, I always thought like the education is the world. Yeah. So I really wanted to see, you know, how is fashion in London? How is fashion in New York? I was ready at the time to like fully like, you know, move there. I mean, at the end, like I started like just moving there.
And you connected to the fashion classes immediately?
I loved it. Yeah. I mean, I feel like both also, cities are so different.
And I wish, I mean, your father is so smart to have done that. I wish all designers went to business school first.
I was like a little bit of a nerd in school. So like I was really good at studying. You know, it was really easy for me. So he was like, you're good at maths, you know, like, why don't you just, you know, go for it and do it? And then he always said, like, I want you to prove to me that, like, you really want to be a designer. He's like, it's a really tough business. Yeah. It's really hard. And I really want you to, like, fight for it. So, I mean, seeing me, like, come home at, like, midnight from, like, you know, a pattern making class, he was like, oh, crap, like, she's really going to do it.
And then you went to work with Anna Sui.
Yeah. So I did my grad program in Chicago at the School of the Art Institute. Mm-hmm. Because I was thinking about staying in Europe for my master's. And then I was like, I kind of wanted to like break the mold a bit and go somewhere where it was like more art.
Yeah.
Since my education in Spain was like, you know, I worked with like a master tailor and like did couture. So it was like, you know, more, no, I don't want to say conservative because I feel like you need those amazing bases. And like, I wouldn't be who I am as a designer if it weren't for them. But I just wanted to, I don't know, experiment a little bit more. And my parents were in Mexico at the time. So I actually like collaborated with like embroiderers there and knitters. And it was really great. And then when I finished, I actually, I started at Anna Suisse. I loved every single aspect of the company. Like the fact that like, you know, almost everything is in-house. Mm-hmm. Like I love being at the sample room with the cutters and the sewers, and the fact that it's, you know, it's a huge brand, but like the fact that like she has like, you know, a few floors in the garment center. Yeah. Like, you know, I was going to the factories and it just felt like very controlled, and I was like, this is like the kind of the, you know, the model.
Well,
that
also
I
that she started
have.
It completely on her own, and
yes,
and I think it is actually,
and she
really
was there. Yeah. And she was always like, you know, super sweet. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I admire her a lot.
I do too. And then how did you know that it was the right time to start your own business?
It was like a couple of things. Like one, like with my visa, like I couldn't really like pursue like properly like getting like a job in New York. Otherwise, I feel like I might have stayed a little longer like working with some designers. And then I was at the time like when I finished my thesis at the School of the Art Institute, actually like I made a lookbook of the collection and like made a footwear collection, and some stores like bought into it. Mm. So I was actually at Anna Sui's studio, but I was selling my stuff.
That was Amoi, or that was
that Alejandro? Was Amoi. That was like the beginning.
That was your
that
first
was like
collection.
The first collection.
Was there a lot of knitwear? Was it similar
to
that? What
you the do? First collection was very inspired in Mexico because my thesis was like about working with these people. Mm-hmm. I feel like the bases were there. I was like, you know, I really want to do these. Some people like really encouraged me. And then like 4 months later, like, you know, like I had like Women's Wear Daily came to a review and I was like, oh my God, this is like happening. But it was more trend driven. I feel like it was more experimental. I feel like I needed Amoi in order to like stop at a moment and then like reassure myself that I was ready to launch my namesake brand like afterwards.
And was that hard to realize that you needed to stop and change
gears?
It was
so natural, like an organic, like in a weird way. Like it was sort of like, because I kind of stopped, like some stores were like, you need to do 4 seasons. And I was like, well, I really want to do designer. Like, I started as a designer brand, but I feel because it was like, I didn't want to say like a little younger, but like maybe more trend driven, like it was falling a little bit more maybe in the advanced contemporary, but the quality of the clothes and the fabrics were, you know, they were really expensive. So, you know, like I don't think the idea was like clear and people had too many questions. So like, who's the designer? So I went to Madrid and I spent like a month there. And I spent a lot of time with my grandma. And then one day I was like, what the hell? Like, you know, it's here. Like, why am I looking inspiration in like other things? Like, you know, it's just here. It's in the family portraits. Yeah. Like, it's just like, it's my grandma. It's my mother. Like, it's just everything. It's here. It's me. So I decided to go for it. And it was a little tough at the beginning because it was like the huge moment of like street style. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, now I'm not doing trend, but like now it's all about trend. But you know, like I really stick to it. And I've been doing that for like 7 seasons now. And I feel like it was the right decision.
I loved it the minute I saw it.
Thank you.
And I'd never seen I still have never seen anything like it. I mean, it's so you. It's so completely you.
Thank you.
I'm so fascinated by your colors, but I also love that for spring 2020, you worked with natural dyes.
Yeah. we started experimenting since pre-fall because I was like, I kind of wanted to do, I call them like the non-print prints because sometimes I love prints, but like I feel like my goal is like to create prints where like you're not going to get tired of.
Yeah.
Like the kind of print that like you can just keep wearing, right? Mm-hmm. Like the brand is like timeless and it's like... I mean, you know, like you can like wear like
the
for many years.
The prints that are
so,
neutral.
So I wanted like to do neutral prints. And so I started thinking also about like sustainability and how we could like integrate that more into the company. So, you know, on the knitwear side, like I started working with recycled cashmere and developing like the yarn with my factory in like Italy.
Is this one recycled?
Yeah.
When I hugged you, it was so soft.
they really turn it back into like these gorgeous like yarn. Yeah. But it's beautiful. That,
it's almost
you know,
like a felted cashmere.
Yeah. So it's gorgeous and it knits beautifully. It's not really heavy. So I'm always looking for more sustainable practices. And so we were like, why don't we do like, you know, natural dyes? And so we went for it.
And just head first, you just learned how to make indigo and turmeric and
turmeric and then
and
like
talk about
raspberries.
Indigo. Yeah, raspberry, cabbage.
Yeah.
I just taught a class on natural dyes at Blackberry Mountain, which is in Tennessee. It was such fun, but I had to get a serious pedicure after because we had to do it barefoot and
oh yeah, you can
the
get
dyes,
like,
I mean it, the indigo will not go away.
It's crazy. So for the indigo, like the other dyes, like we actually even for production did them at the studio, and then for the indigo we had to find, which was like hell, this guy who only worked with natural dyes and like most of people work with indigo but like in a non sustainable way to like fix, like it's easier,
right?
I guess.
Oh, right, because it is really complicated
and it's very complicated.
You have to have it's almost like a vinegar. You have to have a mother, right?
We always like, I was actually telling the girls downstairs, like, so we have to wash the fabric and like these like mix of like water and vinegar. It needs to like sit for like many hours. There's like other components, like there's like a natural fixer for like the fabric, but that also could like enhance the color.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's like happy accident, what I call, and sometimes like what happened? Because like a pink can turn into a yellow. Yeah. So I always alum. So
alum,
I always,
yeah, exactly.
We always do the swatches like for a library, and I always have my right hand like easy, like I'm always telling her like, okay, let's do like the same swatch with alum and without alum, because one time like it really turned into like two prints, like one was pink and the other one was like literally like yellow, like this the long skirt that you have there.
And do you love that or do you is it scary?
I love it. It's amazing, like I feel it, you know, it's happy surprises, it's all natural, so there's like these like one of a kind aspect to it, which I love. I know some people are like everything needs to be exactly the same, and it's like, why? I think it's like just beautiful.
And your sense of color is just so
but the indigo can really like take over. Like the kitchen at the office is white and like it was not going away. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God. I mean, it's a rental. So I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have to replace the entire kitchen. And then the super in the building was like, I got you. Like, let's use these. And like we fixed it. I was like, oh God.
We also were worried about putting it down the drain. I mean, we thought like, I mean, really?
No, it's crazy. Like even the, like the, yeah, I don't know how we managed. Like we actually had like a pod and like a huge like Tupperware, like everything was just like just for indigo, like even the spoons, like because like if not, it was really hard actually, and we had to be super careful because we were doing that color but at the same time we were doing like two like a like a butter yellow
beautiful
and a butter pink, so like if if like things touch,
no
so
you can't have it
we
near.
Did it in like different days, like you know we had to like clean like with Clorox
indigo
like,
week
every, yeah it was like indigo week, it was crazy, but it's so much fun.
So you continue to work on it and think about
we're,
it
yeah 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 yeah, we're totally working on for actually now for the CFDA for the Vogue Fashion Fan, like for the design challenge, I did these gorgeous print with flowers, but we hammered them to the fabric.
Beautiful.
So it was actually really nice. So it's just endless. Like you can really like do anything. I was like, what if we use like the baking roll, like just to like you know, like roll the flowers into. It's amazing. The principles are the same, but you can go. You can even go to your garden and grab like different flowers and then see some of them like look dark and you're like the color is gonna stay and then like there's no color,
right?
And then these like weird like green leaf or whatever that like looks like boring turns into like the most beautiful thing. So we go to the flower district and sometimes we buy like roses from like a day after, so like also to avoid like throwing away like the flowers. So we get them and we put them in the fridge, and honestly like they could last even like 2 weeks if you keep them in the fridge to play around with like dyes and stuff.
Back to the CFDA, tell me about that. What's the experience been like being part of that class?
It's been amazing. Like the first day that I had to like meet all the judges in that like room, I thought
that
I was gonna like
so
die.
Intimidating looking.
And also, like, with the little one, like, I had to live, like, 1 hour.
You have a new baby.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, my God, I was the first one to present. It was, like, over 100 degrees in New York. I was like, I'm going to die here. But it was really nice. And, you know, I'm really taking it as, like, a teamwork.
Yeah.
So I'm involving, like, every member of my team. And really, I mean, it's a dear friend of mine who has been through it before, like, told me, Jonathan Cohen. Who,
yeah.
And Sarah, they told me one day, they were like, well, you're not like gonna get like thrown out from the island or anything, like, you know, they're so happy to see you and like, you know, they're gonna turn into your mentors, like don't be scared. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, the competition part of it sort of like was completely secondary, and I was like, oh my God, like I really want to like know these people, and I you know, I want their feedback, and I just, you know, want them to mentor me, because I mean, when are you gonna have like
such an incredible
a moment with like Anna Wintour by yourself at the office? Like, I was just like, I mean, she left and I was like almost into tears. I was like, oh my God, this just happened.
So tell me about your baby and tell me about how that's changed your life and your work.
I think it's made my time more productive. Like, I could do in a couple of hours what I used to do maybe in like 5 or 6.
Yeah.
But I think it's turned, everything is just better. Like, it's a lot of work, way less hours of sleep, but it's just, I don't know, like, you
how
know, sharing,
he?
He's 8 months now.
Oh, it's such a good age too. They're so fun.
It's great. And, you know, my husband is like super supportive and we have the business together. So it's...
Oh, he works with you.
So we founded the business together. He's the finance, like, you know, guy over there, like the finance mind. he's the CFO. So we just, you know, we don't work in the same office or
That's
anything
good.
Like that.
Do you talk know. About work when you get home? Never.
Not really. Maybe if it's like fun stuff, but maybe like breakfast, like whenever we're like, okay, let's just chat about these. But sometimes we're just like, I'm like, no, not in-. He's like, how was the meeting? I was like, it was great, but like, I don't want to talk about it. Yeah. We'll just talk
for me
tomorrow.
It's like kryptonite. If my husband mentions it at dinner, I'm just like, I fall apart. I just can't.
It's too much, but we try in a very natural way. Like, we've known each other for so many years that I feel it's like he can read my face. Like,
since you were 4, right?
Yes.
I love it. At the end of this podcast, we always ask people what they wore to the prom, and I don't think in Madrid you had a prom.
We did not have a prom.
But I want to hear about your wedding dress, and I want to hear why you didn't wear the Carmen's Balenciaga dress.
I went to Paris and I was going to go to the Balenciaga with like the dress in like a suitcase and I had an appointment at the atelier because I didn't trust anyone to like fix it, and I was like, this is like, I was almost going to donate it to a museum like after I wore it for my wedding. That was a schedule, everything, and we were going to get married in like 2013. And then in 2012, I was in New York and my husband was still, he works for a family office in Chicago. Mm-hmm. So he was going to move, I kept working with them, but like moved to New York in 2012, like in January. And then around October, like, you know, like his vision was like a little affected. And so anyway, he went to an appointment. I was in New York at the time already, like working with Anna. So he got diagnosed with like a brain tumor. Which was like the scariest thing that has ever happened to us. It's like a sad story with a really happy ending.
Yeah.
But then we, like, one of the things that he said, like, they told him that he needed surgery in like 2 weeks, like latest. And she couldn't leave Chicago. Luckily, like, the best surgeon for that was in Chicago.
Wow.
So it was like,
how incredible,
a miracle.
That?
And so I went back there, and then, you know, our family flew there. And then all of a sudden I was like, what do you want to do? And he's like, I want to have all my friends. And I was like, okay. And he's like, well, why don't we just get married now? And I was like, oh. what?
Were you engaged?
We were engaged. Okay. Yeah.
So he really sprung it on you.
I was like, I'm already working in our wedding for like a year and a half from now. What? Like, my dress is not ready. And I was just like, I said just like, you know, yeah, like, let's do it. So I put together a wedding in 5 days.
In Chicago?
In Chicago.
Yeah.
So I'll always be like, so thankful to Net-a-Porter, always.
Did they do the same day delivery there too?
Same day delivery, you know, gorgeous. Like, they just made it actually like a very beautiful like experience. I went to like every bridal place in Chicago and like I felt like a cake.
Yeah.
In those dresses, and they were humongous, and they didn't have my size, and I was like, what am I gonna do? And I even went to Chanel, and like they had like the cutest like little dress, but I was like, I want to get married in a little dress.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just looked in at Net, and actually I found this beautiful dress from Tempery London.
Yeah.
Which was all lace, like very kind of like 20s. So I went for it. Beautiful. And then I went on Etsy because I wanted a vintage veil, and found this veil from the 20s that a woman had in Kentucky. So it was Thanksgiving. And I emailed the woman, and I'm like, I really need it, like, tomorrow. And she's like, I'm in the middle of a farm in Kentucky.
Cooking
like
turkey. Killing the turkey.
The FedEx office, like, an hour away. And I was like, so I told her this story, and I was like, I really need the veil. And she, like, took the car, like, drove for an hour.
Aww.
Like, dropped it at the post office, so I had it the next day. And then I found these, like, leather gloves at a vintage store in Chicago. And, like, just put, like, the shoes also from Net-a-Porter. And I spoke to the Waldorf Astoria there, and I was like, I'm sorry, it's Thanksgiving. So we got married on the Monday after the weekend of Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And they were like, you don't worry about anything. Like, we'll organize it. Like, I was like, I don't, like, they were like, maybe there's no cake. I was like, do whatever you want. Like, it's fine. 70 people flew from Spain, Madrid, like, our friends and, like, family. It was crazy. And yeah, we just did everything at the Waldorf Astoria, and it was beautiful.
And the brain tumor gone.
So then 2 days later, he got surgery, and it was benign, and he was fully gone. And yeah, I mean, knock on wood, but he's been great for, like 7 years now, so.
That's so much better than a prom dress.
Like the 10th year anniversary.
10 year, are you going to wear the Balenciaga?
We'll wear the Balenciaga, yeah. You'll come to the wedding. We'll do like a vows renewal.
Will you do it
whatever.
In Madrid, or will you do it in Chicago?
I don't know. Maybe I do it in like a destination. I don't know. Well, I need to think about this. We need to start planning.
Thank you so much for being here. I love, love, love hearing your story.
Thank you so much, Laura.
What We Wore is produced by Capital and Balto Creative Media. The original song, Someone So Enchanting, was composed and performed by Britt Drazda. What We Wore is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network, powered by Ortho Carolina. Find out more at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.